I've asked you to open to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 3. We're still talking about mountain moving love, divine love, whatever you want to call it. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Unforgiveness and strife block the spout where the miracles come out. Amen. We have talked about many things in this series. Amen. We've seen what divine love is. We've seen what divine love does. We've seen the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. We've seen the importance of walking in forgiveness in order to walk in love. If we're not walking in forgiveness, we're not walking in love. We understand by now that walking in the Spirit is walking in love. That's what walking in the Spirit is. Amen? To be super spiritual is to be supernaturally loving, even when those times come when you'd prefer anything else to it, and those times come frequently. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said that the one who refuses to forgive is a wicked servant. And I told you that word wicked, it's where we get our word wicker. Because wicker means to twist. And Jesus said, if you're an unforgiving servant, if you refuse to walk in love, you're a wicked servant or a twisted servant. You got things all twisted and things all messed up, and you don't understand what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus if you don't walk in love. If you take every demonic opportunity to slam your brother or your sister in Christ and to make them look bad, to make yourself look good, Jesus said you're a wicked servant. Amen? Today we're going to talk about the benefits of divine love. I say the benefits of divine love, but I'm going to talk about one benefit primarily. There's many benefits for walking in love, provision being one of them, protection another, perpetuity, long life another. The Bible says if we don't walk in love, we cut our years short. And we're going to see that tonight. That's going to be the primary focus of what I want to talk to you tonight. That's what the Lord's put on my heart tonight, is to make much of walking in love for the sake of perpetuity, or for the sake of a long life. The Bible says in Psalm 55:23 that a deceitful man or a deceitful woman can literally cut their lives in half. The Bible says in Psalm 55:23, a bloody and or a deceitful person shall not live out half of their lives. So be not surprised, saith the Spirit of the Lord, when you see two people that all in this room are acquainted with. Expire suddenly. They're here in your midst one moment, and the next they've gone, for they would not walk in love. Now that just came out of my spirit. Two people, known by all in this room. Say not within yourselves, says the Spirit of God. Now why would something like that happen? For you know, says the Spirit of God, that they refused and refused to walk in love and rebelled against my word. Hallelujah. There it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two people known by every... not, it does not include you. It's not you. The Lord is saying there are two people known by everyone in this room who have refused to walk in love, and they're going to die prematurely. Now see, I'm talking out of my spirit, and I didn't plan this, but if I don't obey God, He'll replace me with someone who will. And the Lord said, say not within yourselves. Now, why did that happen? For you know, says the Spirit of God. You will know, says the Spirit of God, why it happens, when it happens, because they would not walk in love. They rejected all admonishment, to walk in love, and insisted upon doing things their own way, contrary to the love way. And they cut their very lives short. Whew, glory be to God. Now, hallelujah. Glory be to God. O se ki perogo do se gimana se te ki poro do se te ki mano se ki peredeste ki peredesto kan peredeste ki perodushe te ke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we asked, whoever they are, Father, we don't need to know who they are. We will indeed know. First one will come and will say, there's one. And then the other will be gone and will say, there's the other. We'll know. And Father, we ask regardless, because we know that all prophecy is conditional. Regardless of what you've just spoken into my spirit here tonight, whoever they are, and you've not shown me who they are, we ask that you grant them godly sorrow, Father, unto repentance, and give them another chance, Father. Father, if it's someone that myself or someone in this room has already admonished and corrected and brought a word of correction, Father, if it's someone that we've shown, Lord, that they're living in opposition to themselves in your word, Lord, grant them the gift of repentance. For you said, Father, when we instruct wrongdoers in righteousness, showing them that they're living in opposition to your word, that you would, through that admonition, grant them repentance. Now, Father, they might not know what I'm praying, but I know what I'm praying, and you know what I'm praying, and I'm praying by your Spirit, Father. Give them another chance, we ask, Father. Grant them the gift of repentance, Father, that hopefully, Father, that free themselves from the snare of the devil who's taken them captive against their will and their ignorance and immaturity, Father. Lord, give them another chance. And by that we mean, Father, grant them, Father, sorrow for not walking in love like they've never known before, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Two people, the Lord said, two people. You'll see them go. You'll see them go. Father, I'm going to say it again. And we can go home and we can read Isaiah chapter 38 and we can see. Prophecy is conditional. All prophecy, unless it's related to the second coming of Jesus and the rapture, is conditional. All personal prophecy is conditional. You sent Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, get your house in order, you're going to die. And he repented. And you said to Isaiah, now turn around and tell him he'll live 15 years. Grant them the gift of repentance, God. Please, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, if it's related to anything that anyone has done to anyone in this room, Father, we forgive. We forgive, Father. We don't want to see anybody pay the price of premature death, God. Father, we stand in the gap and intercede for these two individuals right now, Father. Have mercy, God. Grant them repentance like Hezekiah was granted repentance by the word of the prophet, through the word of the prophet, Father. He wept sore, and you turned his circumstances back when you had said he would die. But when he repented, Father, you said he will live. It's conditional, conditional. You're saying tonight they're going to die unless they repent. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writing to young Pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to say this to you. The Lord just told me who one of them is, but I'm not going to tell you on the tape. And if you can ask me at the end of the service, and I'll tell you who one of the people is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is Lord Kime E O Aman Pama no Gesiki Pero Dosigi Paraduma Nakasa Teke. First Timothy chapter 4. I told that man, I went to that man and I told him he was going to die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I went to that man, I've already told him that. And he's one that the Lord just spoke of here tonight, one of the two. First Timothy chapter 4 says, for bodily... If only pastors would yield themselves to the Word and to the Spirit, these things wouldn't have to happen. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. There's little profit. There's profit to bodily exercise, but little. But godliness, or walking in love, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, this isn't just the Apostle Paul speaking here. Paul is speaking by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is God talking through the Apostle Paul, not only to the church that Timothy pastored, but to the church throughout all ages, Paul said. There's a little bit of profit to bodily exercise, but not nearly the profit that comes from walking in love. Bodily exercise profiteth little because it only profits us in this life. It offers no reward in the life that is to come. But walking in love is profitable not only in this life, but it pays rich dividends throughout all of eternity, the apostle taught. Amen? Godliness is walking in love. It's walking in love. Amen? Let me just say this to you. Ill will can kill. Hatred can kill you. It can snuff you. It can kill you. Somebody will say, oh, he died of a heart attack. But he didn't die of a heart attack. He died of ill will, unforgiveness, bitterness, bitter envy and strife. Now, I'm just speaking by way of illustration. I'm not talking about anyone in particular at this moment. But ill will, and bitterness, and strife, and discord, and disunity, and rebellion don't show up on an autopsy report. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 says, if you refuse to hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, Moses said, and observe to do all these commandments and statutes that I've set before you this day, the following curses shall come upon you. And then he listed 53 verses of curses. I call them the curses verses. Will come upon you, and premature death is just one of them. For refusing to walk in love and yield your tongue, your body, your mind, and your spirit to the commands of the precious, holy, written word of God. Now, there's a prophetic anointing upon me here tonight. And I'm going to do what I can to teach right in the middle of it. Well, Father, I want you to know my spirit's yielded to your spirit in this place tonight. And I'm going to do, and I'm going to say whatever you have preordained that I would do and say in this service, God, for the benefit of your body on Cape Cod, Father. Hallelujah. Walking in love pays eternal dividends. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would please. If you're going to hold, I'm not talking to you in particular. I'm just saying anyone who's going to hold the animosity or unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart towards anyone for any reason, you have a better chance of survival spending a night in a snake pit or walking a tightrope across Niagara Falls. David said in Psalm 55, deceitful men or women will not live out half their lives. Here in 1 Peter chapter 3, pick it up in verse 8. We'll just go through some verses here and I'll comment on them and I'll yield myself to the Holy Spirit in this place tonight. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. When someone curses you, open your mouth and say, I bless them. Knowing that you are thereunto called to bless those who curse you, that you should inherit a blessing. And one of the blessings that we're going to see tonight that you'll inherit for opening your mouth and blessing someone who has deliberately cursed you is long life. For he that will love life, he's actually saying long life, and I'll show you how he's saying that, how I can say that in a moment. He that would love a long life and see good days while they're here, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile against other human beings. Let him eschew evil and do good. He's still talking about cursing people. Let him seek peace, not strife and controversy, and ensue it, or chase after it with your life. Look, and here's the blessings for watching what you say about folks when they curse you. Bless them in return, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Number one, God sees you. Number two, his ears are open to their prayers, or to the one who blesses the curser. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, or he'll defeat your enemies for you. There's three blessings right there that Peter talked about for blessing people when they curse you. He said the Lord's eyes will remain open to you, his ears will remain open to you, and he will defeat your enemies for you. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, God will use you to prove them wrong. For your righteousness is of me, and this is your inheritance, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But oftentimes it doesn't look like God's using you to prove him wrong. But he said if you'll hold steady and exchange blessing for cursing, and not cursing for cursing or reviling for reviling, he said, I will literally use you to prove that one wrong. I choose to believe that. Amen. Peter's quoting from Psalm 34 here, by the way, which King David wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit when his own son Absalom came against him and tried to kill him to take his throne. And you don't have to turn there. I'm going to just read the verses that Peter is quoting from, where we just read in 1 Peter 3. He's quoting from Psalm 34, 11 through 15. He said, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many? Please say many. What man is there that desireth life and loveth many days or a long life that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile against those who speak guile against you, he's talking. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Amen. Most people don't stop to think how much their tongue has to do with how long they live on this earth. Not only does our tongue determine the quality of our life while we're here, but it also determines how long we're going to live in this earth. Amen. People who choose to talk about other people, people who enjoy backbiting, people who enjoy criticizing, people who enjoy making other people look bad to make themselves look good. The Bible says they're cutting their lives short. Why don't you go to Proverbs? We'll look at a couple of verses here together if you don't mind. We're talking about divine love and long life tonight. Amen. Proverbs chapter 10. We'll read some verses together here. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to go to Proverbs 10, and we'll probably go over there to Proverbs chapter 11 as well. Proverbs chapter 10. I'm talking about the connection that your mouth has with how long you're going to live on this earth. Amen? Hallelujah. People who choose backbiting and criticism, they're going to have to settle for sickness and an early grave. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord, or respect for God's word, prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." You can cut your life short. This is another verse of Scripture, right back there with 1 Peter 3 and Psalm 34, that prove of a surety God has not already determined how long you're going to live or how long I'm going to live. We determine how long or how short we're going to live by the very words of our mouths. Amen. Look at Proverbs 11 right there. Jump over there. I guess we'll look maybe here at verse 19. "As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." You see that? When you get in hot pursuit of evil after another human being for any reason, you just make up your mind to make up your mind, "I'm going to make that one pay." You do it unto your own death. You cut your life short. Aren't you glad this isn't talking to you tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 3. Let's take a look at it. I could quote it to you, but we want you to look at it. James chapter 3. Now, that was a word from the Lord given here at the beginning of the service here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You over there in James? I'm not. Hallelujah. 3:12. Thank you, Helen. Hallelujah. It is. It's on 3:12. Amen. Look at right here. James chapter 3. Let's pick it up at verse 13. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation," that word is manner of life, "his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," if all you can do is put other people down and find fault with people you don't agree with or who don't agree with you, "glory not," or don't fool yourself, "and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly." Let's talk about wisdom. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom that descends from above, and there's a wisdom that descends not from above. But it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Demonic wisdom says you can go around, particularly as a Christian, and criticize all the people all you want and still be blessed and prosper. That's demonic wisdom. That's contrary to what's written in the Word of God. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Now, would you consider premature death to be an evil work? It's not a righteous work of God. It's not the will of God. It's the will of the devil. Amen. "But the wisdom that is from above," see, two kinds of wisdom, a demonic wisdom and a godly wisdom. "The wisdom that's from above, from heaven, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Amen? I'm doing my absolute best to walk in love towards my persecutors. Amen? So I've had someone said to me one time, "But Pastor, I have a right. I have an absolute divine right to defend myself against my persecutors. I have a right. I have a right. And I said, and I have a divine left, but it doesn't give me the right to use it. Amen? I won't deny that my flesh doesn't rise up and want to knock somebody out sometimes. Amen? Hallelujah. But that doesn't mean that I can do it. Amen? I have a responsibility to pull my flesh in line. You have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to pull our flesh in line. And Paul told the Romans that we are to yield our members, our bodily members, as members of righteousness. He called them weapons of righteousness, not weapons of unrighteousness. And one way we can yield our members to be weapons of righteousness is to yield our tongue and to bless those who curse us and don't exchange reviling for reviling. Amen? And it will lead to length of days, Peter said and David said, both by the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's not always easy, is it? Are you still in Proverbs chapter 10? Are you anywhere near it? Go back there if you would. I want to read this with you here. Hallelujah. Love doesn't go around looking to reveal the mistakes of other people. Love doesn't go around making one person look bad, this person look bad, to make yourself look good. That's not what love would do. Amen? Some people think it's their Christian responsibility to go around making other people look bad that they don't agree with. Amen? Or go around revealing the mistakes and the shortcomings and the sins of others. That's not what love would do. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's see right here in Proverbs chapter 10. The Holy Spirit leads me to these scriptures. I'm just going to give them to you, read them, and just comment. Amen? Look at right here, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up stripes, but love covereth all sins. See, it's a spirit of hatred, Solomon said, that seeks occasion to provoke enmity, that seeks occasion to have strife from one person to another, or to lead two other individuals and to pit people against one another. It's a spirit of hatred, Solomon said, that will do such a thing, and it could lead to a violent death. However you die prematurely, you'll die prematurely, the Bible says, if you walk in strife and you refuse to walk in love. Divine love is conciliatory. It's constantly seeking for ways to remove the problem, not perpetuate the problem and cause it to go on perpetually. We get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. This is definitely directly connected to the word about those two individuals that the Lord gave to me opening this service. Soon as I turned the recorder on, that came right up out of my service. I thought during worship, standing here, something was trying to come up out of my spirit. So I opened myself up when I came up here, looked within, and lo and behold, there came the word of the Lord. And what the Lord's doing to us and with us here tonight, going through these scriptures, is making it clear to us, if this indeed does happen, why it happened. And don't question it. Amen? It's not coincidental. These two individuals, whoever they are, and we're not going to name names while this recording is on, oh, Jesus, please, that's not my will. That's not our will. I don't want to be vindicated that way, Father. Father, I pray that these people in this room see my heart, Lord. It's not what I want. It's not what I want, Father. It's not what I want, Father. It's not what they want, Father. Yes, sir. Father, we ask you to send laborers to them to correct them, to bear witness, Father, with their spirits, that which was already spoken to these two individuals, Father. They have been warned. They have been warned. And they have been warned, Father. And they've continued to cast it down, Father. They have continued to quench the voice of conscience. They have continued to quench the voice of the Holy One, Father. Lord, send additional laborers to them, God, that will confirm that which they've already heard, Father. Confirmation, Father. Confirm to them, Father, we pray tonight, through the use of divine laborers, God, that the hour of their judgment is at hand. But they'll not have to be judged. If only they'll judge themselves. Father, you promised in your word. You said in 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32, you said, for if we would judge ourselves, we'd not have to be judged, God. We believe in you, God. We're joining our faith together in this place, God, asking you tonight that you would surround them with laborers, God, who would confirm to them. The Lord says there's some things to make right. There's some things you must make right. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 says, above all things have fervent love amongst yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins, and use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, it seems I can't teach, Lord. Ah, se que meno go se que bado se take about a do se take a peradish take. Turn inwardly in your hearts. Turn to the Lord. Ha singin peto ke peradese ki peradushi take. You can sit there and you can place a demand on the prophet's office on the inside of me right now. You see, you can pull on it with your faith. Ese peruga dasa ki peradese ki perdogo shukumbarese take a paranese to kepe. E perango segi peradese de ki porodushte. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 8 in your Bible, if you would. John chapter 8 in your Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 8 in your Bible. Hallelujah. Usigi piramando kesidikishte. Unforgiveness and bitterness, slander, character assassination. Don't show up on an autopsy report. That's what the Lord said. They don't show up on an autopsy report. Some will say he died of a heart attack. He died of organ failure. When in reality, you can die from bitterness, and strife, envy, slander. John chapter 8. Here, right here. John chapter 8. Let's pick it up. Verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken into adultery. And when they had set her in the... You know, I can't read this without thinking this. Where's the man? Where's the man? They brought only the woman. Why? They set her... You know, Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. You ever notice that in the Bible? If you look after a woman, you could say if you look after a man to lust after him in your heart, you have committed adultery with him. Hallelujah. Women today, the way that women walk around half naked today, causing men to lust after them in their hearts. Jesus said, when a man looks after a woman like that, who dresses provocatively, immodestly, that the man has committed adultery with her. That means that she's committed adultery with him. He said, with her. She's people, women who walk around half naked, provoking men to lust, to committing adultery with the men. They're doing that too. That's just a word from the Lord right there. Amen? He said, you've committed adultery with her. Not alone, in your mind, with her. She provoked it. Hallelujah. Women, Christian women in particular, I'm talking right now, if you're listening to us by recording, need to dress modestly. I'm just going to say it. There's no room for cleavage, exposure in Christianity. There's a need for modesty. Amen? You cause someone to lust after you, and they commit adultery with you, meaning you become an adulteress when you cause a man to go through that. That was for somebody, and you know who you are. Hallelujah. It's nobody in this room. Hallelujah. I may never know who it is, but that's what's coming out of my spirit tonight. In verse 4, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They said this, tempting him, that they might have something to accuse him. I'll tell you how they were trying to find something to accuse him. It was against Roman law for the Jews to execute somebody. And if he went along with what Moses said about stoning her, it'd have been in violation of Roman law. They would have accused him to the Romans and had him arrested. But if he said Roman law says that you can't stone her, so we're not going to stone her, he'd be speaking against Moses' law, because Moses' law said stone an adulterer. You see that? They were trying to trap him again. They said it tempting him. But look what Jesus did. He stooped down with his finger. He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up, stood up and said to them, he didn't answer concerning Roman law or Moses' law. He simply said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted, such wisdom, convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Look at, they were convicted by their own conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. You know why the eldest walked out first? They were the most convicted, no doubt, because they had lived the longest and sinned the most. They were the first ones to scoot on out of there. They were experiencing the greater conviction. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He condemned the sin, but he didn't condemn the sinner. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, If you condemn others for their mistakes, and if you condemn others even when they haven't made mistakes, you just disagree with them, and you find fault with them to make them look bad, to make yourself look good, you'll walk in spiritual darkness. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said if we condemn others in their mistakes, and if we condemn others even if they haven't made mistakes, we ourselves will be condemned. Amen? Go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's go this way for a moment. We're not going to stay with this much longer. Amen? God's talking to us in this room tonight. To the select people in this room. Sometimes we come down here. How many times in the past have we come down here initially dealing with discouragement concerning the people who didn't show, only to find out that the Lord had a specific message only for those who did show? This is one of those nights. I don't believe the Lord would have revealed that to me if there were anyone else in this room. That there are two people that we're all well acquainted with that are about to die, soon to die prematurely for not walking in love. And the Lord said, don't question it when it happens. Don't see it as a coincidence. No, they cut themselves short, for they defied me. Amen? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6. I'll read this to you. I'm going to tell you a quick little story. Brethren, in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, browbeat him. Is that what it says? Oh, let me wipe my glasses here. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Look at considering yourself. This is key here. Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something or better than someone else when he's nothing, he deceives himself. He deceiveth himself. Amen? Paul's telling us don't exalt ourselves as being above anybody when they fall. Or we could fall into the exact same sin. I know a man personally called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and an anointed worship minister. Was very involved in a very large music ministry out in a western state. And a fellow involved in the same music ministry, he was involved. This is a church of about 2,000 people right now. They had a very large worship team and a very large choir. And one of the fellas on the worship team got sucked into crack cocaine. The devil tempt anybody with anything he can. He just wanted to experiment and try it. Wasn't strong in the word. The devil roped him in with it. Started smoking crack cocaine. He got addicted to it, and it ruined his life. Lost his family. Lost his ministry position, of course. I believe he lost his job. Now, this friend of mine was also on the same worship team. And he began to find fault with the guy who got hung up with the crack cocaine. And to rail on him. And to openly criticize him. And condemn him. And damn him. And say things like, he's supposed to be such a spiritual man. He should have known better. He shouldn't have been tempted. He just shouldn't have let it happen. He shouldn't have gone down there. It never should have happened. The fool, the fool, the fool. Well, guess who became addicted to crack cocaine within 1 year's time? The man who found fault. Instead of trying to be spiritual and restore the brother and reach out to him in love and bring him back and do what he could in the spirit of compassion and meekness and help him, he railed on him and he damned him to the point where he himself became addicted to crack cocaine, lost his ministry position. He ended up moving in with a woman while he was still married to his wife and having a child with her. He ended up in prison. Mr. Spirituality. This is just a perfect example of what Paul said. He said, if someone's overtaken in a sin, if you're spiritual, restore them in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Because if you don't, if you take the opposite approach, the same spirits will get a hold of you. And that's what happened to my friend. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I'll just read it to you. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Oh, Lord, I'm trying. Where say, Lord, I'm trying. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Hallelujah. Well, you preached real good tonight there, Pastor John, but I'm not changing my mind. I'm not putting up with so-and-so. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have my say-so. After all, I got my rights. Well, praise the Lord. I. You big selfish baby. Amen? Hallelujah. The only trinity you submit to is me, myself, and I. And that's an unholy trinity. Amen? Hallelujah. You can't be a mature, born-again believer. Hallelujah. And walk in the flesh. Go to Romans 8. It'll be the last one we'll look at tonight. And we'll dismiss. Amen? Hallelujah. Whoa. Romans chapter 8. Father God in Jesus' name. Two people. Hallelujah. But we'll not leave this place hopeless. We'll go home tonight and we'll read Isaiah chapter 38, just the first 8 or 10 verses. And there you'll find that all prophecy, that came by prophetic utterance tonight, that popped up out of my spirit, that there are two people that we know who are soon to pass from this earth. But that prophecy is conditional. All personal prophecy is conditional. The Lord is saying, if they continue in the direction they're going to die. Just like Isaiah was saying, in essence, to Hezekiah, if you continue the direction you're going, you may as well get your house in order, because you're going to die, and you're going to die soon. Hezekiah wept sore. And the Lord said to Isaiah, I know you're going to Romans chapter 8. He said, now turn around. I don't think Isaiah got out of the courtyard. Now you turn around and you tell him, I said he's going to live 15 years. Isaiah didn't question the Lord. Isaiah, I'm sure, figured, doesn't it? The man must have repented. He must have received the word of correction from the Lord. Prophecy, personal prophecy, is conditional. The Lord is saying, if these two individuals don't repent, if they continue to go in the direction that they're going, they are going to die prematurely. According to Psalm 55:23, Proverbs 10:27, and Proverbs 11:29. And should it happen, we can know the Lord didn't do it. They turned the laws of sowing and reaping against themselves, and they did it unto themselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if we will judge ourselves, we will not have to be judged. Amen? So, know that God is good. Amen? God's not going to kill someone. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what He's saying. Hallelujah. God won't have to judge them. They've turned the laws of sowing and reaping against themselves. You cannot move and lift your hand against another human being and attempt to destroy them and not be destroyed yourself. So have compassion. Oh God, help us to have more compassion, God. Help us to be more merciful towards those who wrong us, Father. For we know if they don't judge themselves, God, we know if they don't turn back and get into love, they're going to have to be judged. And we don't want that, Father. Father, when we're wrong, we want mercy, God. Don't we? When we're wrong, we want mercy. So we cry out for mercy, God, for our persecutors, God. We cry out for mercy for those who you speak to us concerning tonight in this place by your Spirit, God. We cry out for mercy, God. We don't want justice when we're wrong. We want mercy. So we don't want justice for them, God. We want mercy. And that's what we're putting our faith on, God. In Jesus' name, we choose to go with our born-again human spirits and the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart, and not go with our heads and not go with our flesh. Oh, Romans chapter 8, we'll read it right here, verse 8 right here. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But Paul said, ye are not in the flesh, but ye are in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, which He does. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, or it's dead to the control and manipulation of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. So when people are bird-dogging you, chasing you down, speaking all manner of evil falsely against you, it's best to just put that old body down and calm down and get a hold of your tongue. Amen? It's not always the easiest thing to do. I speak experientially. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes I want to lash back and give him a tongue lashing myself. I'm not saying that God wouldn't tell you to correct someone who wrongs you. We saw last week that Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, 3 and 4, He said, when your brother sins against you, rebuke him. But in a spirit of love. And if he repents, restore him. Amen? But we can't fight back in the flesh. We can't fight back in the flesh. And it's not wrong to want to fight back in the flesh. It's not wrong to be tempted to fight back in the flesh. It's just wrong to fight back in the flesh. Do you understand that? Yes, you do understand that. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not wrong to be tempted by sin. It's wrong to follow through with the temptation. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we make the decision as a conscious act of our own free wills to keep coming up higher. Keep coming up higher. Keep walking in your love, Father. Walking in greater love and walking in greater glory, Father. In Jesus' name. It'll prosper us and it'll reward us and provide us with a long, long life. God, we thank you. Your word says love never fails. Love makes a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Pastor, I've really blown it. I've really gotten out of love. I've failed to walk in God's love like I should. And I'm ashamed. Well, I have good news for anybody who's gotten out of love. Amen. How long, let's get our snapping fingers ready. How long does it take to get right with God? Snap of a finger. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13 says, if we hide our sins and refuse to forsake them, we will not prosper. But if we confess them and forsake them, we'll find prosperity in everything that we put our hand to. God is a forgiving God. God said in Isaiah 43:25, He said, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I'll not remember your sin. Maybe you got out of love. Maybe you blew it. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's hope for you. God said He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He said He'll forgive you and blot out your transgressions for His sake or for His own glory, because He's such a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's okay. And I'll close with this. It's okay to be wrong, but it's not okay to stay wrong when you see that you're wrong. Let me just say that to you again. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. Just confess it. But it's not okay to stay wrong when you see that you are wrong. Let's stand up and worship God tonight as we go from this place. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. Father, whoever these individuals are, we pray for them and not ourselves as we close tonight in Jesus' name. We remind you, Father, of your word in Jesus' name. You said if two or more agree as touching anything on earth, Father, as long as it's scriptural, that you'd slap heaven and earth together and cause it to come to pass if only we would believe. Father, you said if someone's eyes are being blinded to the truth of your word, it's Satan, the god of this world, who's blinding the eyes of the unbelieving. You also said that we could pray the Lord of the harvest and He'd send laborers, God, laborers, God, to these individuals who are in need of repentance. Father, you set this time aside tonight because those two are precious to you. You brought these people out tonight because these two that you've spoken to us of are precious to you tonight, Father. And they have a preordained plan that you've set them apart for that they've not walked in, Lord. They've been walking out of your will, God. God, it's not your will that they die prematurely. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, send laborers to them. In Jesus' name. Father, as it comes into our hearts in the coming days, as we remember the word of the Lord that came tonight, we'll thank you again for sending laborers, God, to show them the error of their ways. We'll continue to thank you for godly sorrow working in those two individuals that you spoke to this special group in here tonight of, Father. in Jesus' name. Not special as in better than anybody else, but special because you had a special message just for us, God. Because you knew you could trust us to make mention of them in our prayers every time you brought them to our remembrance, because you're trying to spare them, God. Satan, take the blinders off their eyes. You know who they are. You know who they are. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' strong name.